Funds for Bookworm are provided in part by Lannan Foundation.
You are a human animal. You are a very special breed. For you are the only animal who can think, who can reason, who can read.
Hello and welcome to Bookworm. I'm Michael Silverblatt, and today I'm very happy to have as our special guest Kenward Elmslie. Kenward Elmslie is my favorite contemporary American poet. I'm on record, and I stand by this claim. His selected poems and lyrics, Routine Disruptions, were published by Coffee House Press last year. We are celebrating the publication of his new book, Cyberspace, from Granary Books. And I thought I would introduce Kenward, or rather let Kenward introduce himself, with a lyric that he wrote to music by Steven Taylor that opened his review last year, Squeegee Bijou of 99. This is Kenward Elmslie doing an opening number spoken.
Va-va-va-room, time to jet up, alakazoom. Don't get het up. If you shimmy and shake and whiplash through the air till you find yourself lit up by comet tail glare, don't panic. Forget the Titanic. Hop into Squeegee Bijou. Test model year 99. Assembly line hype, we won't feed you. Glam it sleek, peekaboo design. Confession, we never larned to weld. Mechanical genius, who he? Our daft pleasure craft is sweat-propelled. Achtung, it may go kerflooey. Welcome to Squeegee Bijou. Each blast-off's a lucky sign. The rapture of the heights may seize you in orbit love's less labyrinthine. The zingy sparkle of lingo pearls evokes the hokey pallor of chorus girls. Melodious onyxes will surf in your brain, along with Gene Kelly, reruns in the rain. Bye-bye, Tiffany's, mission epiphanies. Squeeze into Squeegee Bijou. Its velvet love seats recline. I'm a tour guide who aims to please you. Geronimo, I'm Ken, I do robust wine. Part nouveau chapeau, part old hat. Squeegee Bijou's where it's at. Why get lost in the shuffle of internet kerfuffle? Every sweetie pie and feller are treated like they're stellar. Yo, this is your moment to shine. It's showtime. UFO time on Squeegee Bijou of 1999.
Kenward Elmslie with Squeegee Bijou of 1999, the opening number written with music by Steven Taylor to his review that premiered in 1999. Now, Kenward is, as many viewers of Poetry in Motion know, the singing poet, and his work brings to bear all the language of musical lyrics, Warner Brothers movies, science fiction, science fact, technology, all of it recognized to be a reminiscence, a memory of things future, all of it whipped up in the most extraordinary word welter, a philosophy unknown by most contemporary poetry, and syllables that you can't believe. I wanted to begin by pointing out that Squeegee Bijou must be the most irritating set of sounds that Kenward has ever put together.
Oh, thank you, Michael, for recognizing this. I was aiming at a sort of fingernail on the blackboard sound, and I finally hit these horrible syllables that scratch at the ear, which I like. I like ugly sounds that are so ugly they attain a kind of invincible charm.
Now tell me, you've been working, because the new book, which is published by Granary Books, and it has art by Trevor Winkfield. Wonderful kind of, I don't know how to call it, even. Would you say that this is, what kind of art is it?
to describe Trevor Winkfield's art as, you put me on the spot, it's, it comes out of children's fiction, English authors who do their own images. It comes from these floating, topsy-turvy, very impeccably created designs that are always a little askew. I worry about people seeing his paintings that they'll have to take pills against mal de mer because everything floats so oddly in the Winkfield space. And so therefore, I think he was a perfect collaborator.
Yes, the collaboration is part of very much a tradition within the New York School, a poet, a painter or graphic designer or, you name it. Kenward has worked with Donna Dennis, with Larry Rivers, with Alex Katz, with Red Grooms on various theater projects, and always the result is a new landscape defined by the words, often followed by the art, then the art in turn inspiring more words. And so what you get is this imbroglio of various visions that eventually create a new work, in this case, Cyberspace from Granary Books. What you're going to hear now is the remarkable Kenward Elmslie reading his poem, Cyberspace, large chunks of it. And what you'll be hearing is something that will be going on in your head when you read Kenward Elmslie. I find that the key to Kenward Elmslie is to hear his voice. And once you have an idea of that, you can never escape how these poems are meant to sound. They're inimitable and they're unforgettable. Kenward Elmslie reading Cyberspace.
Cyberspace, Part 1, Rock Bottom. Motor mouths, granted, but hey, I've come to enjoy overflow, key meltdown of frou-frou festoons, defiled my website sweltering, still uninhabited, because uninhabitable, sacred Loki. Detoxed, total recall's a rarity, but last vernal equinox, I felt a swale of pathos, ray of Velt epiphany. Hula hoop embedded in dung, ho-ho, cartoon and e-biz logo. Clip art lip line of marsupial pouch gappy. Peering out, saucer-eyed whelp, turquoise roo. Gung-ho promo to hurl on the pyre. Should my blood-orange futures co-opt me, slap-happy, new lifestyle, ha-ha. Surfeit of Netscape, wake-up calls in impenetrable tech argo. Hot sex, a sniff job, still warm tricycle seat of Delia the Moppet Quadroon. Share a Snickers, dearie? Dreamt. Say I say that on a tram in Alabama at, heck, Fargo and Pell Street, that swell street. I be downsized gats of hell, sad rune. Back to overflow. The cremation instructions are behind a loose brick, behind a loose cannon. Sit ye doon, Sri, and Lady Jessopy is in Parsi lanyards. She dotted Swiss nipple nappies for prickheads like you, queen beef curtain. Oh no, in flames, the coronation recipe. To resuscitate the muss, braise and dust. Can do, but regurgitated posse gunk. Dusk, stark terror'll kick in. Antarctica, the lunar Urals, Patagonia, shh! Dusk just fell. Must host a slam dunk of lunar buzzwords. Why clunk, clunk, iffy consensus, Sirocco's swish by with lugubrious aplomb. Thelonious! Come in the pod this second. Watch Daddy email Al Nussbaum, a name he, I think he's a he, goes by. Though his chat room alias is Tim's, dildo. Al does Dawn of History restructurings. Averts die-down trauma. Prescient, which way the beige charts will veer. Hey, shall we polish off the dim sum?
Kenward Elmsley, reading from cyberspace. Now, how did this one start up?
Well, I always wanted to work with Trevor, and I'm such a coward when it comes to anything internet-y that I thought, well, I'll deal with this cowardice by writing about it without being able to actually do it. Those who can't do right.
Where did you get the language from? Because, you know, it's full.
It is.
EBay's and every other.
Well, I felt, though I'm not even a neophyte, so I made up for it by reading magazines, by reading financial reports, and cyber biz is so in the air, is everywhere. So I was able to cull this wonderful sublingo. And I'm very attracted to sublingos anyway, and this proved extremely fertile.
Now, I'm talking to Kenward Elmsley, the author most recently of Cyberspace. Cyberspace is published by a small press, Granary Books, whose editor is Stephen Clay, and I wanted to let listeners know how one can find copies of Cyberspace and other work by Kenward Elmsley. Fortunately, there's a nonprofit called Small Press Distribution. They make accessible most of the incredible work published by the small poetry and literary presses, and Granary Press does particularly beautiful ones. These poems, or this long poem, is interspersed with full-color illustrations by Trevor Wingfield. To track down Small Press Distribution and ask them for a catalog or to order the book, they have an 800 number, which is 1-800-869-7553. Now, these poems, or this poem, has more rhyme than I've ever seen in your work before, even in your lyrics, I think. Tell me what was the impulse, because I've been joking to people and saying, well, Kenward Elmsley is one of the new formalists, you know, they're interested in meter and rhyme again, and here he is doing his version of the new formalism, but of course I know that this isn't true, and those traditionalists who are looking for rhyme and meter are not going to be grabbing up cyberspace and saying, the Messiah has arrived, but the people who want to know what's happening now and what you can do with total perfection. Where are the rhymes?
Well, I think the rhymes came about because in setting up the structure with Trevor Wingfield, we agreed on a very sort of precise format, which is like two pages of quatrains rhymed A-B, and then a sort of middle section with which I love to do, of sort of symmetric, I call them blobs, but they're really symmetrical chunks of words that form squares or oblongs on the page. They have a visual identity. These chunks are very plain, so I wanted something rather severe to by contrast. And the quatrains are like predictable. You get your four lines, you get your A-B-A-B rhyme, and that's it.
Now, this poem has the semblance of a plot, which is generated how?
I work from the word backwards, and the word leads me into a narrative substructure, which emerges, but first I need the word. It's like ask backwards in a way, supposedly. I mean, I suppose other people start with the narrative and then the words flow from that. I go the other way.
Now, you're about to hear the most, I guess they call it macaronic, but you might go further and call it spaghetti-like language, full of abbreviations, technical lingo, bits of French, all sorts of impacted data in fracts and shards, and I wanted to know what is the imagination of the reader's ability to keep up with the deluge.
Well, I try to hew to one law, and the law is that every line, for all of the sort of froth and perhaps silliness, that it really is based in a kind of human reality. So I create for myself a scenario under the words which coheres, and if the words don't fit into the scenario, if they go too far into cyberspace on their own, then I tend to chop them out. Everything in this poem, hard as this may be to imagine, resonates for me on a personal or on a kind of reality level.
As I've come to live with Kenward Elmslie's poems, the exciting thing is that he has done this census-taking of the language, I think beginning in the 40s, and then there's 50s talk, 60s talk, 70s talk, 80s talk, 90s talk, and now the millennial cyberspace. And the thrill here is watching at every point, as you read through his collected works, which have been gathered in Routine Disruptions, is watching the poet making the language reflect its times, its style of laziness, its style of romance, its style of degradation and sleaze. All of it is there in the language of the decade in which you write, and also in the language with which you look back upon the past, because many of these poems are protracted versions of the form of poetry that your lover, Joe Brainard, the late Joe Brainard, invented, called I Remember.
Yeah.
And these are many of the memory poems.
That's true. It's the only way I can hold on to memories is by putting them on paper using the form that Joe invented, the I Remember form.
This is Kenward Elmslie reading an excerpt from Part 3 of Cyberspace.
Rip rushes about. Kenward won't speak to me. Kenward won't speak to me. Suicide threat. Taxi to his loft. Speed, speed, speed. Everything so small and boring. Drift from one day, next. A speed vegetable now. Barely recognizable fragment of former self. Starts touching me, which I resist firmly. His project, the red book. He can move into the top floor, I tell him. Easier give up speed in a different environment. No sucky in not living with me, two problems I resent. Sorry, not more daring jaywalk. Calm day, job, objectivity, unhinged by his cringe posture. Punish me for ghost voices, interminable churring. He's forgotten who he came for. Kitchen raid, icebox, banana peel in sink, credit cards back in its regular spot. Must venture out more. Do upscale spas and memory jogs with spherical outgo containers so you don't even need slog to the PO in the rain. See you. Motor mouth overflow has tapered off. I head home. Dish with CW how Wayne's a wife beater. Carlos asks Ruth for a blowjob. She tells him direct approach a turnoff, prefers romance. Derek has white streaked hair now, looks old. In Paris, we ordered vin ordinaire by the liter. At the funeral, his stepbro Chuck spreads the word. Derek has ants in his asshole pants. I move to a new megalopolis. Hyperactive flower child asks me, who's your guru, bozo? Obligatory Q&A, pro or con, marrow gobs. imposter surgeon, infrastructure, skin flick. Same day, impromptu wave to Al on funicular to the morgue. He struck raffish pose, so no dow float for untouchables triathlon, fund flush toilets in sister city's jinrikshaw depots. Jeunesse dorée, survival guilt. At two, I knew to let Sancerre breathe. At four, special abattoir solved the foie gras conundrum. By 10, anus force-fed brains, a no-no after sunset. In labyrinthine sex warrens crumbling under the abandoned wreath of wealth rotunda. Long since ceased and desisted, live whistle-blowing. Plenty else profanes the air I subsist on, the cocoon I curl up in to make ready for the morrow. April, my birth month, flashed by quicker than a chicken pursued by a musical saw robot. After her life affirmative mink stole punchline, my surrogate, Missy Sorrow, will shroud herself and prance airily up the gangplank into the showboat. Doing okay, scouting for shards. Forgot ancestral magnifying glass under my hankies. Condoms, socks, don't always match, ribs diverge. I'm used to my bureau's muss, and I don't miss prisms unseen. Yesterday, under an assortment of dank keys, came across a words bunched up epistle ending, "Keep your filthy euros," plus an unfinished P.S. "If you balance one vernal egg in a..." Signed, Victor. Knock, knock, Victor. Whoever you were. In a what? Eidolon? Passez-moi some watermelon rind. Ugh, my creation myth still engorges Tom Courtney and his variegated ilk. Shock of recognition is petered out. Ruts and more ruts. Hurdy-gurdy a plus. Sky a find.
Well, now that you've heard part three of Cyberspace, we can talk a little bit about what you referred to before. Now, I believe that in the center of part three, there is a very painful memory of a friend on speed threatening suicide. And this is one of the incorporations within the poem of a reality past, and right next to it, a present tense reality of gossiping and dishing with a present tense CW. Now, why, in an America, after all, that is interested in exiling its negative memories, why would you return to the bleakness of this zombie scene of your friend on speed?
I think you've hit the raw nerve that I tried in this poem to exile this kind of very visceral misery of a real-life situation. And I was forced, by chance, really, some journals in my archive that were being tidied up suddenly were handed to me, and they fell into the poem, I think, to address this lack, really, that it isn't only a word work, though it's also a word work, but the words really do, in this case, spring frighteningly to me still from a real-life emergency.
There's an ongoing sense of emergency in the work, that progress in itself is a form of ongoing emergency.
Well, I worry so much about internet and it's how it affects people in real life They're, you know, they meet people, love happens, strange fantasies evolve about the person. And I think this is a very complicated new reality.
Oh, so I see. In other words, the poem, in a way, almost works like that kind of internet where the rhyme word generates a whole fantasy scenario, whereas the person on the internet may be fantasizing about a person, the poet here is generating whole technical possibilities and small episodes
right.
based entirely upon projected words.
Exactly true.
So in a way, the poem is about substituting words for memory, screens for experience. We're dealing with both the exhilaration and a certain fear of the disappearance of the lived.
Of being enveloped in this cyberspace that devours us. And that is, I think, the tension in the work.
You can get a copy of this collaboration, Cyberspace, with remarkable full-color art by Trevor Wingfield, which comes from Granary Books, by calling the nonprofit organization Small Press Distribution at their 800 number. It's 1-800-869-7553, 1-800-869-7553. You can ask them for a catalog. They carry many works, in fact, by Kenward Elmslie. Their web address, perfect for this show, is www.spdbooks.org. And ask them for their catalog. It comes out, I think, 4 times a year, and it's completely free. You can know everything that's happening of any significance in the poetry world, but especially be able to get into contact with the work of my very special guest, Kenward Elmslie. Thank you, Kenward, for joining me today.
Thank you, Michael.
It's always a pleasure to see you. My associate producer is Melinda Siegel. The engineer is Jennifer Swadek. Special production assistance from Alan Howard. I'm Michael Silverblatt. Join me again next week on Bookworm.
To the jungles you can go in books.
Funds for Bookworm are provided in part by Lannan Foundation. This program is made available to the public radio system by SAS, a satellite service of KCRW Santa Monica. Cassette copies of this and other Bookworm programs are available. For ordering information, call KCRW at 310-450-5183.
Books make you laugh and sing. Books tell you everything. They're your treasure, friends in prose and rhyme. Now it's book of the mouse pop time.
I want to tell you about a new show from the Financial Times called Life and Art from FT Weekend, hosted by me, Lila Raptopoulos. Life and Art is twice a week. On Mondays, I have a guest on to talk about life and how to live a good one. Everything from winter travel to cooking to living more creatively. And on Fridays, we talk art. Two FT journalists and I discuss a piece of culture that's in the air, new music, movies, and more. Find Life and Art from FT Weekend wherever you listen.